What's up? This is Movies Are Us. Fuck, what the fuck is the name of this show?
Movies Are Us.
We'll get sued for that.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Are you game? I'm Dave, joined by my partner, my co-host.
Yeah.
The fall to my summer. Ryan?
Fine. The first two things are absolutely true. I don't know if I'm necessarily the fall to your summer, but we'll just go with it.
We are Movies On Up. Our tagline this week, are you game? If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. This is our 2014 summer rewind. I don't think we've ever done one of these before, but we had no other ideas for
recap
this week.
Rewind. I feel like we probably have.
We
never do anything original.
I like box office. Summer 2014 is coming to an end. The last major releases coming out are out. Next week is our big fall preview. We're recording next. It'll probably go a little long. It's probably our biggest episode of the year. So this week, we're going to talk some summer, kind of recap it. Surprises, not surprises. And at the end, we'll go over box office bash results, both Ryan and I's head-to-head battle and our listener submissions. Summer 2014, Ryan, initial thoughts?
I feel like when we did our summer preview, we kind of thought, or at least I thought, which is kind of a trippy thought if you're trying to wrap your mind around it, that there wasn't a whole lot this summer that just jumped up and like grabbed you by the neck and said, this is going to be great. This is going to be a great summer for movies. This summer made a lot of money. There were a lot of movies that eclipsed $200 million, maybe more so than we had originally thought. But as a whole, I mean, I saw a lot of movies this summer. There were some that I missed, but by and large, everything was okay to good. I didn't have that many great movies that I saw this summer. And the one of them that I consider great may only be great because of what I'm comparing everything else to.
See, I liked this summer. I saw quite a, I did a top five that I'll cover later that I really liked. And like, there's still one or two more that could have made it of just major releases. And they're movies I liked that at the end of the year, like a lot of my top movies of the year will probably be from the summer just because the ones I liked, I really, really liked. There weren't any of the Iron Man was a 400 some million dollar movie. Dark Knight Rises, a 400 some year dollar movie. We didn't have any of those. This year, there were seven movies between 200 and 250 million. One of them on the plus side of 250 million, which, let's just get to that. Top movies of the year. Up until, you know, the summer, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Lego Movie have kind of been going back and forth. They're 2 million apart. For the year so far, Captain America sitting at 259 million. Lego Movie, 257 million. But right behind there is, it has to be the surprise of the summer, Guardians of the Galaxy is $253 million, and it's still making money. By next weekend, it'll be the top movie of the year. From the domestic box office, it's going to pass that by the weekend.
I don't think either of us really thought that Guardians of the Galaxy would be the most successful Marvel movie of this year, especially seeing what Cap had already done. We'll call it $260 million is a ton of money. And that's for an established superhero that's coming off his own movie and the Avengers, which was a runaway hit in and of itself. Guardians of the Galaxy is characters that nobody knows from a director that is anything but a mainstream director.
And the cast isn't really movie star led.
Well, no,
I
that's
mean,
the thing.
Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper.
Right, it has movie stars
roles.
In it,
yeah.
But right.
I'm not surprised that it did well. I did have questions. Like, there were a lot of questions. Is this Marvel's first miss? Are they being too ambitious? It's a ballsy move to announce that this team that nobody really knows is going to come out in the midst of everything. It's the last thing you're going to see before Avengers 3, and it's the first thing you see after Captain America 2, which made a lot of money and got a lot of critical acclaim. You know what? Guardians came out and just knocked it out of the park. It was an August release, which, you know, that's usually your tail end of summer. You don't put a lot of your big blockbusters. But it's at $253 million. It'll be $260 by this weekend. It's only been out about a month. It made a lot of money, and it made a lot of money fast.
on the Box Office Mojo, there was a really good comparison between Guardians of the Galaxy and the original Iron Man, which I guess at that point, Marvel movies weren't necessarily Marvel movies. That wasn't like a genre in and of itself. But I feel like in the first 24 days, I think is what they were looking at, it compared almost dollar for dollar what Iron Man did. And that was, you know, Robert Downey Jr., who was not... who at one time was a giant movie star. This was kind of
him. At this point, he wasn't.
Right. This was kind of him coming back. But it was sort of taking a chance on a character that people at least knew. I think even people that don't read comics, if you were to see a picture of Iron Man or you see a picture of Groot, like, who are you going to be able to name? So, I mean, I think with all those things going well for Iron Man, for this to be able to do kind of the same thing with everything going against it, and that's a relative term, I think really does kind of speak to the fact that almost anything Marvel does at this point succeeds.
What I think is interesting is up until this point, you've heard Doctor Strange rumors, which Doctor Strange is in the next phase, directed by Scott Derrickson, who directed Sinister. But you've heard Tom Hardy, Benedict Cumberbatch, John Hamm, Joaquin Phoenix was in talks, and it was all, okay, they're going after an established name for Doctor Strange because he's not a very well-known character. Maybe you do need a movie star to carry it. Guardians blew up, and now it's like, oh, maybe Jack Huston could be, you know, Doctor Strange. So it's, I think Marvel, I think Guardians was all Marvel needed to realize, like, okay, movie stars are nice, but we don't have to have them. You know, maybe Joaquin doesn't want to sign a 10-picture deal. Jack Huston will, for cheaper.
Especially, you know, for a character that's not necessarily a movie star. Iron Man, Captain America, these are kind of the rock stars.
Doctor Strange is a weird one.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy was a weird one.
Exactly.
A talking tree and a raccoon, and they nailed it.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think we're surprised that it did well. I think we're surprised that it did as well as it did. And,
you know, number one movie of the year thus far.
Yeah.
That well.
And that it was so universally loved.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because I haven't heard a negative thing about it, because it was a lot of fun. Before it, the number one movie of the year was Transformers Age of Extinction. It's sitting at $243 million.
The number one movie of the summer.
Yeah, of the summer. It still holds the largest opening this year. It opened at $100 million, whereas
Guardians was
94, and Captain America was 95. So I think the big surprise, I mean, we knew Transformers was going to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would kind of peak out at that 220 range, so maybe it made a little bit more money. Good for Mark Wahlberg. Like, I don't think he needed it. I don't think they needed him. I think it was going to make money regardless.
Right.
But it's one of those that, like, yeah, it made a lot of money. I don't hear – it didn't seem to have any buzz around it. I don't really think – I think people just went to see it. And
for
that
a movie
it.
That opened to $100 million.
Yeah. So Maleficent is sitting at third place for the summer. That's a little bit of a surprise. $237 million. You picked it in your Box Office Bash.
I mean,
it was Angelina Jolie. It was a Disney movie. So, I mean, the pieces were there to succeed. But I think even when you picked it, I don't think you saw 230-some million. I thought maybe 150 tops this could get, best case scenario.
I guess I was thinking maybe more 150 to 200, maybe 200 on best case. So, yeah, I think it did make a little bit more money than I thought it would. But I did feel good about my picks. Guardians was my last pick, especially in terms of the Box Office Bash, because we were only counting money that was made
in August
in 1 month. And there's, I don't think any in our wildest dreams we thought this movie would make nigh upon, well, we'll call it between $200 and $300 million in 1 month. I think with Guardians, I was thinking maybe, you know, hey, it could catch lightning in a bottle, get $100 million.
If it gets $175 million, it's a huge win for Marvel.
Yeah.
If it gets $150, it's a win. $250, $260, and it's still going.
Yeah, I mean, it's still
going to ride into middle of September, probably. Like, I think The Maze Runner is its first, like, real competition. Like, it's going to hover around that top five for a while. X-Men Days of Future Past, $232 million. You knew it was going to make money.
I am glad to see that it did as well as it did. I know, you know, you and I were kind of divided on this, where, you know, you were very worried that it was going to be a bit of a train wreck. Because story-wise, it very well could have been. I am glad that it built on what First Class was able to do. I love First Class. I like that more than I like Days of Future Past. But First Class made $146 million. This one almost 100 million more at 232, making it the second highest grossing of the X-Men series behind The Last Stand by about $2 million.
Yeah, number five for the summer, a sequel that I think we all had high hopes for, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, sitting at $204 million. So you have five movies right there, just over 200, and we're not done yet. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is really the only one I was super excited for this summer that I have not seen yet, so that's on me, but I still think I'll like it a lot. I just haven't had a chance.
There were a lot of movies to see. Almost every week there was something.
And I saw most of the ones I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a similar refrain for me. I did manage to see Dawn. There's a one a little bit lower, quite a ways lower down the list that I really want to see. I still think I'll like. I just didn't get to see it yet. But it was a busy summer. Quantity-wise, you know, there was enough there to keep you going to the theater every week, and I guess that makes a good summer.
It was a good season. I see your point that you didn't love everything, but I know you enjoyed a lot. Just it wasn't that it didn't have your Dark Knight Rises, your Dark Knight. It didn't have a bunch of those. Like, I think Guardians is a standout, but it didn't have a lot of game changers, really. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was the fifth. And sixth, I kind of criticized the first Amazing Spider-Man, thinking it didn't make as much money as they had hoped. And you kind of gave me crap for saying like a $190 million movie wasn't on par with what they wanted. Can kind of say the same for Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah, it made $202 million, but that was a number that made them put the third one not really on hold, but kind of bump it back a little bit.
Of all the Spider-Man movies, it was the least successful.
Yeah. So, I mean,
a wide margin.
It's hard to say like $202 million isn't a successful movie, but with a franchise like Spider-Man, something went wrong there. That should be making a lot more money. When you have Guardians of the Galaxy in less than a month making $50 million more than it did so far. Another one I had high hopes for right after Amazing Spider-Man, this is the last $200 million movie of the summer, Godzilla. I know it made a lot overseas, but in the States, I mean, it was just over $200 million. It was good. It was okay. I
think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay movie. I made a top five of the summer. It's not in the top five, and I still enjoyed it. So, I mean, I guess that says a lot that I did like it, but there were five other movies I liked more. So I think a quantity thing, you know, is accurate to say about the summer. Like, quantity movies that were good. But did we have any great ones? I don't know. But one that I loved right after Godzilla would be the eighth of the summer, 22 Jump Street. I think people expected it to do well, but it's at $190 million. I don't know if people expected it to flirt with $200 million when all was said and done, but I liked it. I thought it was a perfect sequel. I thought it was great for what it was. And then in ninth, another sequel that we both agreed with was our runaway number one choice.
And How to Train Your Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon 2 was, we both agreed, was our number one. It was the top draft pick of Fantasy Film Ball, and it, you know, $172 million. Is that a disappointment?
I think it's a disappointment because the first one, it's a significant amount of money more. You're looking at about $45 million more for the first one, which clocked in at 217. And I think that one kind of came in a bit under the radar. If you can make $217 million and be under the radar, I think that people kind of caught on to How to Train Your Dragon as being a good movie. And I thought with enough marketing that, you know, had gone into How to Train Your Dragon on kind of the back end of that the first time, and then couple that with a sequel, I did think it would do much better. Obviously, we both did because we both had it.
I thought it was 250.
Yeah.
Minimum.
That was the one that I was really kind of sold on as being a $200 to $300 million movie was this one.
Because it wasn't really a kid-friendly summer. There weren't a lot of stuff for the family to go
see. No, I mean, that Maleficent, I mean, I think those were the two in my head that I was thinking, well, that you know, that's going to be your big-time family moneymaker. And that's where you get a lot of these, especially summertime movies, being big family movies. You look at Monsters from last year. That did really, really well in about the same area. But
maybe it was too heavy because I loved How to Train Your Dragon 2. I loved the first one. I loved the second one. But maybe it was just too, I mean, it's a good movie. It's not necessarily a good kids movie or a great family movie. It's just a great movie, both of them. Because even the first one had some fun moments, but it's not necessarily like a fun kids movie. Like, it gets dark. It's a good story that's not necessarily a super upbeat story. So, I mean, maybe it got a little too dark. But
is it that much darker than the first one?
It's pretty dark. It hits its lows. The highs aren't as high, I don't think, but it's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
But I mean, look at last year. Despicable Me 2 came out in July. $368 million.
Exactly. Double.
Yes. And not that Despicable Me 2 is a dark movie.
No.
It wasn't.
It's the opposite. And I love Despicable
right.
Me 2.
Right. And even Monsters University, $268.
And that wasn't good. And there were two animated movies.
Released not even a month after each other. Monsters University came out the 21st of June. July 3rd was Despicable Me 2. So you're looking at like 2 weeks separating those two. And collectively, they made about $600 million.
Yeah, and How to Train Your Dragon really went unopposed and didn't even crack 200.
Yeah, so. Even couple that with Maleficent and you're looking at, and I'm sure maybe that was a little bit darker than.
I mean, that surprised me. And then in 10th place for the summer at $150 million. For right now, something else might pass it. Neighbors came out in early May, kind of kicked off. Maybe not your typical summer blockbuster, but Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, Rose Byrne. I liked it. I thought it was really good. It was a fun, funny movie.
Yeah, for exactly what it was, I thought it was really cool. I wasn't expecting very much. It was one of those drive-in flicks where I was like, okay, I'm here to see X-Men. Whatever you want to show me after that for free, great. Yeah. Turns out it was Neighbors, and that was fine. Yeah. I laughed pretty hard a couple times.
Yeah, and it was different than I think a lot of people expected. There was no real clear-cut good guy, bad guy, which I really liked about it. Right behind that at 11th is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at 146. So by next week, it'll probably crack into that top 10. It'll pass Neighbors. But then as far as the rest of the $100 million movies in the summer, The Fault in Our Stars, I think we both dubbed as kind of a sleeper in the draft to where we could see it hitting that audience. Because for the tween audience, there wasn't a ton this summer. And, you know, we like Shailene. And then Lucy at $114 million. And then other than that, as far as summer movies, Edge of Tomorrow is sitting at just under $100 million. So
I guess that's really, not that I have a lot of regrets for the summer. I have two. One regret is that I did not see Edge of Tomorrow. The other regret is that I did see
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No. although I did see that. That is a fact. The other regret is that I saw A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously I had, that made $42 million. Its budget, I think, was probably around 40 or 50 yeah. million. So it wasn't a major loss, but
40 million. So it made money.
But when you're coming, it about breaks even. But when you're coming off a movie that had a minimal budget that made over $200 million, I had higher hopes for A Million Ways to Die in the West. It just didn't work. I think that would be probably my biggest surprise of the summer.
I mean, it's got to be up there. I always thought it was going to be a tough hustle with a Western comedy. That's a tall order to fill. I think some of the comedies, we thought it could be a very, very good summer for comedies. And on the top end, I guess it was. 22 Jump Street did very well. I think Neighbors, for $150 million, did pretty great as well. But I think Tammy only getting to... it's still in theaters now, but I mean, I don't think that's going to go much above 85. I think that's a little surprising given how hot Melissa McCarthy is at this point in her career.
But this was also the first one where it was just Melissa McCarthy, not Melissa McCarthy, Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy,
I mean,
Jason
Sarandon Bain. She's a star. I mean, yeah. I would say that.
I don't think she's where Sandra Bullock is right now or where Bateman is right now. I mean, I think Tammy looked good. I didn't see it yet. I think I'll enjoy it when I do finally see it.
Sex Tape, that kind of bombed. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at further on down the list. And
I mean,
a lot of comedies, a couple of them did well and not so much on the other
Planes, Fire, and Rescue, I guess. We never took it. The ones that didn't make a lot of money, there were no surprising bombs. And I think that's almost like 2 years in a row because last year, Lone Ranger was a massive bomb, but I think everybody called that.
Yeah, I know we did, and not like we're the smartest two on the planet. So if we could see that coming, then.
I mean, there were a bunch that, you know, didn't perform well, but Expendable 3, it's not doing well, but I don't think anybody expected it to not light the world on fire. It's like two or three summers in a row where everything's kind of predictable. There's a couple surprises, but I think the days of Van Helsing and Battleship are kind of gone. I think the days of just let's spend $200 million on this and hope it's a franchise and not put any effort into a script or not make a good quality movie, I think that's kind of going away.
I mean, the ones that bombed, quote-unquote, this year, I mean, A Million Ways to Die in the West, that made $2 million, 2.7. Yeah. The budgets aren't out of control for movies that don't do that well. I mean, How to Train Your Dragon didn't do as well as we thought, but it's an animated flick, so that's, you know, a good way to keep most of the budget under control.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I think we're seeing a lot different, and I'll say it, I'll go back to Inception. I think Inception is as much what I'll say about Christopher Nolan. Like, I don't have the highest opinion of him. He's not terrible. I don't think he's as great as he's spoken up to be. But I feel like Inception was one of the first ones in recent memory where it's like, oh, we can throw an original idea out there that's not a super big budget and just throw it out there, a quality movie for people. And I think that's what studios are doing now. And it's almost like, is the summer season going away? Because a lot of these movies, like Neighbors,
that's
not a tentpole movie.
Yeah, like, that's the key. Is I don't know that the tentpole, your Cowboys versus Aliens, things like that.
But I mean, what I mean by is it going away? Like, okay, Captain America was released in April. You know, Lego. I don't think anybody expected Lego to make as much as it did,
no,
but it was
gosh,
a March
no.
movie. Batman Superman got moved to March. 5 years ago, a movie like that to release in March is basically the studio saying, like, we tried, we failed, here you go, March, well, take it.
And even, you know, you look forward, the Star Wars movies are not releasing in May, where, you know, they had always been kind of the beginning of the summer. They're nowhere near for next year. So I think that kind of does maybe show you that, you know, these bigger budget movies don't. Summer's not a great time.
Yeah, I mean it's if you put out quality, people see it. Because I don't think any of those top 10, maybe, you know, say what you will about Transformers, I don't think they were terrible movies. I think most of them were quality of some sort. And it's just weird because you have like your mini blockbuster season in March. You know, Hunger Games kind of kicked that off. Where here's a big $200 million movie in March. You have your May, June, July with your heavy hitters. The biggest movie of the year so far came out in August this year. You have your November, your big-time blockbusters in November, and then you have your Christmas movies. The landscape is a lot different than it was even just 2-3 years ago. I feel like that we are going to see a shift where some of these Oscar movies, instead of getting lost in the shuffle, we might see a Lincoln in the middle of the summer. We might see something of that ilk. It's an Oscar movie, but instead of waiting for Oscar season, it's just let's throw it out in the summer against all this other stuff because people are going to see the movies. People aren't necessarily only going to see Battleship or Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter or
Enough
Battle
people.
Los Angeles. Like, people are going to the movies, and they'll see whatever you give them, but if it's good, they'll tell their friends that they saw it, you know, instead of just trying to throw out franchise after franchise and failing.
That's kind of what we had hinted around in the preview episode, is that summer is a little bit different. It's mostly because the summer moviegoer may be a little bit more intelligent now and are kind of voting with their dollars that, okay, you can make a third Expendables movie, but don't expect us to go see it because it's a summer action movie and that's what you do during the summer action season. We can, I don't know, like, go be outside or, you know, take the kids to the lake or whatever. I mean, we're not being held hostage by the Lone Ranger or, you know, some of those other movies that we had already mentioned, which is a good thing. As much as I might complain that there wasn't one movie that really blew my socks off this year, there wasn't one that I went to and I was like, oh my God, I can't. Even Turtles, I didn't like that movie, but it didn't make me, you know, want to remove my eyeballs forcibly from their sockets.
My top five of the summer. We've talked about them all, but I like Neighbors. That was my number five. Number four was How to Train Your Dragon 2, because I really loved it. Number three, Edge of Tomorrow. I think that's a sneaky one this summer that I think just got overlooked. And that's I said it even in our summer preview. That's kind of movie that if you put out in like January or March, it makes a lot of money.
I think Oblivion last year was April.
Yeah.
I think.
If you put it out in that time, it makes a lot of money. It kind of just got mixed in. It just got lost in the shuffle. There was so much out there that it just, I mean, it still made almost $100 million, but it was a good movie. My number two was 22 Jump Street. And my number one favorite movie of the year so far, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's probably my favorite Marvel movie so far. I mean, I want to wait and give it some time to see if I still feel that way in 3 months. But it felt like an 80s space team movie, which I absolutely love.
We love that genre. We just did our favorite space team movies not too long ago.
When this movie came out. Right. So, I mean, I liked all those movies. And I liked Godzilla. And those were just the major ones. There were some limited release ones that I liked. Like, They Came Together was a summer movie, technically.
Yeah.
There were movies that I enjoyed that also released this summer. But
that would make my list of top five summer movies just because I didn't love the studio stuff. I liked They Came Together an awful lot. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy would be my favorite summer flick, but Fault in Our Stars would be in there because I liked that movie that much. It was really, really good. Sure, I thought Spider-Man 2 was fine. I thought Days of Future Past was fine. I guess I kind of felt like that. Godzilla, like a lot of these were kind of interchangeable for me. I didn't enjoy my experience was not that much better at one than it was the other, so I guess they all kind of run together for me. But at least Guardians was a really good time. Fault in Our Stars was not a really good time, but it was a really good movie.
But as far as box office bash, last year, if I remember right, I kind of ran away with it. This year, I didn't have the best luck. Ryan had the overall pick. He had How to Train Your Dragon, Transformers, X-Men Days of Future Past, Maleficent, Guardians of the Galaxy. Four of your five movies were $20 million movies plus.
$200 million, yeah.
Yeah, $200 million. 20-point movies, I mean. Right. $200 million because you get a point for every $10 million. And then your fifth
one was the consensus number one pick.
And it was $170 million still. So Ryan clocked in at 113.6 points. Me, I didn't do terribly. Four out of five, you know, Godzilla, Spider-Man, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 22 Jump Street. That's three $200 million movies and a $190 million movie. But then I came in with A Million Ways to Die in the West. So I came in at 83.6. Even if I had picked another random $200 million movie, I still would have fallen. So,
yeah, I was kind of trying to do the math in my head. Like, if I'd have given you six movies, there's...
I mean, I still needed 30.
Yeah, there was no mathematical way.
A Million Ways to Die in the West, $43 million didn't help me at all.
Oh, God,
but
no.
Even if I replace that, that's still only...
Yeah, it's...
Give me a $200 million movie, I'm still only at 99. So you kind of hit it out of the park there. This film ball will be our tiebreaker because you won the first film ball, I won the second
one. We're each one and one.
I won the first box office bash, you won the second one. For listener entries of box office bash... Second place this year went to Jason West, who had Amazing Spider-Man 2, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Godzilla, X-Men Days of Future Past, and he fell into the Million Ways to Die in the West trap.
Geez.
So he clocked in at 84.9 points. The winner goes to listener Tyler Moliterno, How to Train Your Dragon 2, 22 Jump Street, X-Men Days of Future Past, Guardians of the Galaxy, and, outside the box suggestion, Think Like a Man 2. Which made slightly more than Million Ways to Die in the West. He came in at 91 points. So Tyler Moliterno is our winner of Box Office Bash 2014.
I'm glad that we weren't the only ones drinking the How to Train Your Dragon Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that seemed like the only slam dunk. Whereas, you know, every other year, the only other year we've done this, I mean, Iron Man was kind of, we both agreed that, that was going to be the number one.
We agreed so much that it was the number one pick that whoever got number one pick, the next person got
two
and three.
Yeah.
Because we knew Iron Man 3 was going to be like a $400 million movie.
Right.
So it was, I mean, we didn't have that this year.
No, but we were so sold on this. You were willing to let me have the number one pick.
Because I didn't think you were thinking Train Your Dragon.
Right, and it's probably a good thing you did that, because had you taken How to Train Your Dragon, hey, God, it would have been that much worse for you.
Maybe things would have fallen a little bit differently then, though.
Oh, I doubt it.
I still would have taken
You still would have taken A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Because it was between that or Tammy or Neighbors. I mean, Neighbors would have given me 15, so that still would only put me at like 95. But yeah, that was Box Office Bash. I enjoy Box Office Bash. We mentioned Fantasy Film Ball. We'll talk about Fantasy Film Ball next week in our fall preview. Let us know your thoughts on the summer. Did you love movies? Do you like it where it's more, you know, there's more movies worth going to see, and maybe not, maybe they're not as much event movies as they used to be? I mean, they're hyped up like event movies, and that's why you're seeing such a movies opening at $90 million and then dropping 60%, 70% that next week because the next movie opens at $90 million. I don't know. Maybe the event movies are just done and we're just going to see quality movies released very consecutively, which I'm all for.
There's worse things could happen to you.
Yeah, but what's your favorite movies of the year? Were we wrong on Guardians? Or is Guardians far and away the best movie released this summer? Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. Just give us your overall thoughts on summer and tell us what you're looking forward to for the fall preview, because that's coming next week. Forward to recording that one, even though it'll probably go a little long.
I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
I'll probably say cool a whole bunch because fall is cool. But that's it. Listen to the summer preview or the fall preview next week. A couple weeks we'll do our fantasy film ball draft, and then I don't know, a couple weeks we have something else coming up.
We actually do have all of September planned.
I'm just not looking at the
so
calendar.
So strange for us.
And then
we've
stick
got
around.
Favorite fantasy movies coming up.
Oh, that's right. That's coming
point.
Up sometime. And then October. September, we just kind of breeze through, because October, if you've been on Movies on Up since the beginning, you know that that October is me and Ryan's.
You're probably
time
not
of the
listening
year.
Right now, but you're going to come back in October.
Yeah, October is, it's all horror movies, probably 8 episodes in October. So we're looking forward to that. But until then, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Keep it up.